If you weren't here at 10:30, I'll say it again. 'Twas the weekend before Christmas. Hopefully you have all your shopping done. I don't. Yours is all done there, though. That's yeah. This is not part of a series or anything. It's a one-off. And if you have your Bibles, can you turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 26? And when you're there, you can say, Yaman. All right. I have to figure out something for 2017. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What I want to focus on today, and we'll read the next passage in a few minutes, what I titled this sermon is, "On the Road to Bethlehem." On the road to Bethlehem. And how many of us have ever experienced a change in plans? How many of us love a change in plans? Just me. No, I'm joking. Have you ever been excited to go somewhere? The anticipation is there. And you're leading up to this wonderful experience, this wonderful event, whatever it may be. And then there's a change of plans. And you see, Mary, she was engaged to Joseph. She was getting ready to marry this fine man. And then all of a sudden, there's a change in plans. And for a woman, when it's time to get married, you know they love the planning. The wedding registry is done. They've booked their halls. The wedding invitations have gone out for the women. They've picked their bridesmaids. The men, they say, "Hey, you want to be part of my party?" Yeah. But there's a whole lot of planning involved in that. And I can imagine Mary at this very moment, excited about this wedding day that she's going to have with Joseph. And all of a sudden, an angel comes, Angel Gabriel, and says, "Hold up. Wait a minute. The plans have changed." How many of us would be happy with that? Okay. It's okay, you can respond to me. That's fine. And so, how many of us know that God does interrupt our plans? How many of us have experienced God interrupting your plans? Thank you. And one thing you have to love about God is He doesn't care how much time you've put into it. He doesn't care how much resources you've put into it. He doesn't care how much, if it was your biggest dream in the world. God will interrupt your plan. And so the angel comes and says to Mary, "You have found favor with God." How many of us would love if an angel came to you and said, "You have found favor with God"? That'd scare me to, yeah. And not only did she find favor, but then the angel Gabriel reveals to her, "Guess what, Mary? You're going to have a baby." And Mary says, "Yeah, I already know that after I wed Joseph." And he says, "No, that's not going to happen. There's been a change in plans." And the angel starts to explain to Mary, "Listen, Mary, you're going to give birth to this child. And this child is not actually just going to impact you and Joseph, but this child is going to impact the world." Imagine how Mary must have felt at that moment. But it's also interesting that Mary hears the angel Gabriel deliver a message from the throne room of heaven, and instead of embracing the promise, she looks at her condition. And how many of us are like that with Mary, as Mary, where you get a promise from God and you say, "How can this be? How can this be?" Has anyone ever been there? I'll raise both hands. Have you ever asked the Lord, "How will this be?" And Mary says, "Listen, I hear what you're saying, but if you haven't noticed, I'm a virgin. I'm a virgin. If you haven't noticed that, God, I know you made me, but I'm a virgin, and you know how the whole thing goes." I'm not going to go there. And so imagine now Mary's dilemma. She has to go talk to Joseph and say, "Babe, I don't know how to explain this to you, but there's an angel that came and this angel told me I'm going to have this baby by the Holy Spirit. More or less, babe, I don't think I'm going to be fitting into that wedding dress anytime soon. And we won't go to Matthew chapter 2 where it actually explains Joseph's point of view. But let's just say Joseph didn't want anything to do with it until in a dream his mind changed. But we won't go into that today. But imagine that, having to explain to your boyfriend, your fiance, I don't know how this is going to work because I'm about to have this baby. I don't know if we're going to get married. You know, talk about updating your Facebook status too. It's complicated. And then you update your Twitter account saying hashtag complicated. Right? How do you do that? And through this story, I felt God wanted for me to go through three things. One is God's plan, God's provision, and God's promise. And hopefully I can relay that in a nice simplistic way to you today. And so God's plan is number one. And how many planners do we have here? If you're a planner, let me see the hands. Hey. You know, we have like the controlling planners, like the OCD kind of planners, right? And then how many of us are like just spontaneous? You're like, "Let's just go with it." You know, I mean, Trish, she's a wonderful planner. And One of the things we love, or she loves to plan for, is Disney. You know, and we've had the privilege of taking the kids to Disney a couple of times. A lot of times. But each time, she just loves that. She just loves doing the planning. And I mean, she does the planning like 7 months in advance. I mean, just, it's, so if anybody you want to plan, she could be your Disney planner for the bridge. But she loves planning. However, how many of us know that as much as we have plans, God is the master planner? He is the master planner. And the issue with most of us is that we actually like being in control of our own plans. Right? Okay. I'm trying to preach this to you, but you're not. I don't know. And if the plans are not within my control, then we got some issues. Right? And it's not that I'm against a change of plans. It's that I'm against a change of plans without my consent. Right? I'm glad for your honesty this morning. Right? And all the planners say what? Amen. Yeah, you didn't plan to listen to this, but it's coming. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Your road. But here's something that's very important for us to keep. As we're celebrating Christmas, as we're celebrating the birth of Christ, as we're getting together in families and as colleagues or whatever it is, in all of your planning that you're doing for this occasion, I felt the Lord say this. Don't make your plans make you miss God's purposes. In all your planning, don't miss the purpose of it. That's when we get into trouble. And we actually miss the bigger picture. And so yeah, Mary, guess what? She had a wedding registry, but now she has to go get a baby registry. Because God's plans are inconvenient. Yes. God's plans do interrupt your life. But we also have to recognize that sometimes God's interruptions are actually an invitation. It's actually an invitation. And I must admit, in the last 2.5 weeks, not only for myself and for my family, but I'll focus on myself. I had everything planned in the way I was going to organize, spending time, studying and doing various other things, Christmas shopping. And then, of course, as we all know, what happened with Amelia having the pneumonia and stuff. And then even this past week, in my planning, it just didn't happen. And so even yesterday, I'm out there shoveling the snow. And then I see our neighbor, Mr. Ross, who the kids think of. You ever see Dennis the Menace? Mr. Wilson? Well, he's Mr. Wilson to them. Mr. Wilson! Some of you guys are too young for that, okay. You get it, thank you. And so, that's who he is to them. And he's out there shoveling snow. And I look at the corner of my eye, I'm like, oh, man. And I'm thinking what my day looks like yesterday, which was a very busy day. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how's this going to happen? And I felt the Lord say, go over that. Oh, no. And I felt Him say this. He said, you think your preach is worth anything? He said, over there, that's preaching. That's the gospel being shared. It's not about your planning. The invitation is there, And I'm calling you to that invitation. So, of course, I had to, hey, Ross, how you doing? And you know what? He was so grateful for it. It doesn't take much. And that was my learning experience yesterday. In Jeremiah 29, chapter 11, all of us quote it. All of us love to use it. You hear it at every conference. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And all of us love those words, prosper, future, hope. And we all say, yes, Lord, yes, hallelujah, yes. And we praise God for it. But do you know the most important part of that whole scripture is? I. And it's not I, but it's I. And a lot of us get in trouble because it kind of sounds like, for I know the plans I have for me, says Kevin. Plans to give me a better life than what it is now. Plans to give me a better job than what I have now. Plans to give me a better car than I have now. Are you with me? It's all about His plans. One thing I loved about Mary, what she said is, she says at the end of it, she says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. In other words, I had my plans, but guess what? Let it be according to your word. I'm your servant, let it be. Does that kind of sound familiar somewhere else? Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Right? Imagine that. And so God, when He gives you a plan, He always gives you provision for that plan. Do you agree? Are you still with me? Okay. And so how many of us know that God is our provider? How many of us have experienced His provision? I'm sure all of us have testimonies. You know, whether they're big ones, small ones, it doesn't matter. He still provided for you. And I'm sure we can all have a big, just, we can spend 45 minutes, an hour, everybody coming up here just saying how much God has provided for them. And so in Luke chapter 2, verse 2 to 7, and I'll just read this quickly. It says, this was the first registration when Quirinius, who was governor of Syria, let me take it from verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. But what I want us to focus on is the journey. And a lot of us, there's not a lot is said about the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And I really didn't even pay attention to this until I started studying about it. And if you ever studied about it, this is what that journey would have looked like. They had to travel 90 miles, which is about 145 kilometers, to the city of Joseph's ancestors. They would have went south along the flatlands of the Jordan River, then west over the hill surrounding Jerusalem, and then on, then up into Bethlehem. And the trip was mostly uphills and downhills. It wasn't like this nice, smooth, you know, road. It was uphills and downhills. And they would have traveled about 10 miles, which is about 16 k's per day, as this was a one-week journey. So they would have started today to get there for Christmas. And the trip through the Judean desert would have taken place during the winter months, when it's in the 30s during the day, which is Fahrenheit, and rains a lot. It's nasty, it's miserable, and at night it would be freezing. Women, imagine being 9 months pregnant and having to take that journey. A week before you're giving that baby. On a donkey. Yes. To protect themselves during inclement weather, Mary and Joseph would likely have worn heavy woolen cloaks constructed to shed rain and snow. Under their cloaks, the ancient residents wore long robes belted at the waist, tube-like socks, and enclosed shoes that protected their feet. The hills were unpaved. They would have experienced harsh weather, and the heavily forested valley of the Jordan River is where the lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. I'm serious. They lived in the woods, and travelers had to actually fend off wild boars. Are you getting the picture? I can go on and on, but are you getting the picture that this was no easy road? And when we read the story of Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, guess what? It wasn't an easy road. And for some of us in here today, guess what? It hasn't been an easy road for some of us. For most of us, we can say it hasn't been an easy road. But imagine being in the last trimester. Like I said, on a donkey. Heading to see your in-laws. No, I'm joking. The last thing you want to do is go on this journey. As a woman, right, women? The last thing you want to do is get on a donkey and travel 145 Ks just to be registered. And truth be told, Mary actually didn't have to go. Joseph was the only one that was mandated to go. Mary chose to go along. No, I'm joking. But do you get that picture, though? You see, Mary was favored by God. But if I'm favored by God, shouldn't the road be easy? If I'm favored by God, why would I have to encounter all the challenges of this? If I'm favored by God, why am I so frustrated? If I'm favored by God, God, if I'm so favored, why isn't this road so easy? If I'm birthing a promise, why is this road so hard? And I'm sure on that road to Bethlehem, I'm sure there were times where they probably wanted to give up. I'm sure there were times when they were tired, when all they had really to eat was bread of various kinds on that journey. They had bread for breakfast, bread for lunch, bread for dinner. You can research it. That's what they had. When you're in a place when favor wears the clothes of frustration and is adorned with the jewelry of failure. When it's all a disguise of what's really going on. You still with me? Have you ever been in a place where God spoke something to you and it's not turning out the way you planned? I thought I was going to get a promotion, but it doesn't look like, instead of a promotion, it looks like I'm going out the door. God, I heard that you told me that we would be debt free, but it looks like my debt is just keep piling up. God, you promised that you would heal me from this sickness, but it looks like that's not happening anytime soon. Have you ever been in that place? But one thing you have to understand is that Bethlehem was also called the house of bread. Did that just go over your head? It's called the house of bread. And so they're on their way on this road to Bethlehem, called the house of bread, where God was going to what? Provide for them there. But guess what? He didn't provide the way they thought he was going to provide. You still with me? I'm sorry. When you've had time to go over this yourself, you kind of laugh to yourself. Maybe you're not, but I'm laughing to myself right now. Yes. You see, it didn't matter what the journey was going to look like. And it doesn't matter what you're going to experience along the way. For some of us, it could be you could be even facing the most challenging time of your life right now. Maybe right now there's just so much frustration going on in your sphere of influence, maybe in your family, maybe with your kids. Maybe just stuff is just all hell is breaking loose around you. That's the way you feel. But know that if you keep your eyes on the house of bread, that God will, is, always will provide for you. If you do not lose your focus. I think it's good. Thank you. I'll just jump to the last one for time's sake. So we have our plan. We know God's going to make a provision for us. But as Mary and Joseph experienced, that provision is not always the way we think it's going to happen. And God never promises the road will be easy, but He did give us a promise. And so the third thing is God's promise. And we need to learn to hang on to the promises of God while we're on the road to Bethlehem. Because on the road to Bethlehem, that's when the devil will come to steal, kill, and destroy you. You have a promise. He's given you that promise. He's already told you He's going to provide for you. He's already told you He's going to work it's going to work out for your good. And all He's all asked you to do is hang on to the promise. But you know what? Along the road, especially in this life, especially with this culture, in this world, we go through some stuff. And a lot of us end up letting go of those promises that He's given us instead of hanging on to them. Are you willing to stand when you don't understand? Are you willing to stand when you don't understand? See, there's a promise that God has given you and you think you have it all figured out. You think you have it all figured out. No, these are the plans that I have for my life. And you think you have it all figured out. But when I was preparing, I felt the Lord say, for some of us in here, you think you have it all figured out, but guess what? You don't. You don't. For some of you, you think that you have the plans of what life is going to look like within the next 2 to 5 years. Guess what? It's not going to happen the way you think. I just have to be obedient. Because He is the master planner. And while I was preparing for this is what I felt the Holy Spirit say. So most people put too much focus on the plans and the provision, which is not what I've called my people to do. I will take care of the plans. I will take care of the provision. You take care of the promise. That's our responsibility. He takes care of everything else. All He's asked us to do is take care of the promise. Let me ask you, what is the last thing He's promised? Or what are the promises that He's given to your life? And are you still holding on to those things? Or have you let those things be aborted along the way to Bethlehem? See, don't let anybody rob your promises. And the other thing is, we have to stop trying to make things happen. It's okay. I have a shield somewhere. Stop trying to make things happen for yourself. You know, patience is a virtue. But one thing I've noticed about what's going on in this world, in this culture, it's a now thing. Nobody wants to wait anymore. Everybody thinks, man, I've waited 2 years and that prophetic word that I've got, right? It hasn't come to pass. And so I need to make something of this now. And I'm not saying you just sit and do nothing. But don't force things to happen. And don't make plans and then put God's name attached to those plans. Church, I remember one of the things I loved one of the things I loved where the church was at, that I was a part of, and being a part of this, the people there, is you just hear about the stories. You hear about the stories of faith, of provision, of the promises of God, that some people waited 20, 30 years for that to happen. And then I look at now and I'm thinking, why are we such a people that we can't wait 20, 30 years for something to happen? Hey? Why are we such a now people? I'll take quietness as thought-provoking. Second Corinthians 1:20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." You know what I love about that? It says, they are yes in Christ, and so through Him, the Amen is spoken. It's not through us that the Amen is spoken. It's not through you. It's not through me that the Amen is spoken. Stamp it and say, "Amen, so shall it be." It's okay. Nobody, it's fine. I can just laugh to myself if you don't know me by now. That's fine. But one of the things along the road to Bethlehem is this. It's that at the end of the day, church, it's all about just faith. I mean, it's just faith. Isn't this what this whole life is all about? Believing. But then we're a people that we want to see before we believe. And imagine how Mary and Joseph must have felt along the way. They get to Bethlehem, and then, man, this is not what we thought it was going to be like. Man, my child's going to give birth in a barn. How's that? How am I favored when it shouldn't I go to every inn, hotel? And there be a room for me? Wouldn't that be favor? Right? Wouldn't that be favor if I just went to anywhere and just, "Oh, the favor of the Lord is upon me, because this door is open, this door is open, this door is open. But according to Scripture, every door was closed. Why? Because it was their plans and not God's plans. Are you getting this morning? Maybe it's just too simple, but guess what? I believe that's something that God wants for us to understand. And it's not a Christmas thing. Frankly, I'm tired of everything being a Christmas thing when it comes around Jesus and the birth of Jesus. You'll never hear me say Jesus is the reason for the season. I refuse to say something like that. I believe this word is every day walking in faith, knowing that He has every plan, every provision He has for me is yes in Him. Is yes in Him. So you say yes. No, say yes. Whoa. I just end it with this. For many of us here today, we know God has a plan for us, that He will provide for us. But we've allowed the promises that He's made to us die before the promises can even be birthed. And there's some of us in here, you've had dreams. You've had dreams. You've had promises, whatever they may be. And all of us have different, it's just different for all of us. But along the way, you've aborted that promise. You've aborted that promise. And what I felt God wanted to do today is to resurrect those aborted dreams. Those aborted, I don't want to call them goals. But you've aborted stuff along the way. Maybe it's a hope for your family. Maybe it's the hope for your marriage. Maybe it's a hope for your kids. Maybe it's for work. Maybe it's your family. And you've given up. You've given up along the way. Because just like Mary, we've said in our hearts, how can this be? I'm only a virgin. How can this be? Because look where I am. And I see Bethlehem. I see the house of bread. I see the promises of God. I can see them. But I've grown tired. I've grown weary. I've given up. I'm done with this. I felt the Holy Spirit say, but Bethlehem is still in the distance. Bethlehem doesn't change. Church, Bethlehem doesn't change. If we stay on the road to Bethlehem, He will make that way possible. But please do not interfere in the plans of God for your life. That's for somebody, actually. Don't interfere with the plans that God has for your life. He doesn't need your help. And so I felt... Let's stand. I felt there that we needed to respond to this. Because God doesn't want us to give up. God doesn't want us to abort our plans. But what he is asking us is to be patient as he unfolds those plans. He's asking for you to be patient. Because why? You don't know the big picture. You don't actually know what the master plan is. You think you do, but you don't. And if that's you this morning, I want the eldership team to pray with you today. Is Rich here? Can you go to the piano? Thanks. Want to pray for you today. Because there's still hope. We have a hope. And He is the hope of glory, Jesus Christ. If you're in here today and you don't know who Jesus Christ is, then this is an opportunity to get to know Him. And I'll just say this, the road will not be easy. But you know what? You will have Jesus with you. You will have Jesus with you. And so if that's you today, and you want to give your heart to the Lord, just letting you know before you make that big decision today, the road will not be easy, but you will have Jesus along the road with you. You'll have brothers and sisters in Christ that'll be with you. And so for those of us that have aborted whatever it is that we've aborted along the way, and you want God to resurrect those things again so they actually can be birthed, then if you can just please come to the front and let us pray for you. This is actually not where we're shy. If there's a promise that God made to you and you've given up, even if you feel like giving up, we want to pray for you. It's not time to give up. It's not time to give up, church. It's not time to give up. Let's keep walking this road. Let's keep having our eyes focused on Him. Yeah, the road is challenging. The road is challenging. It's frustrating sometimes. Sometimes you don't even know what's happening. But all He's asking us today is to stay on the road. Stay on the road. Stay on the road. Stay on the road. And for those that are not up here, let's not be spectators. Let's pray for these people. Let's pray for them. That they wouldn't give up. That they wouldn't give up. That they wouldn't give up.